Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Indeed, it is a blessing for us to be here on this morning as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're glad for you being here on this morning. All month, we have been talking about discarding distractions through Thanksgiving. Of course, feeding on the month of November, as this should be a month of Thanksgiving, and it is, according to the world that we live in, United States of America. We know that the people of God are commanded to always be a thankful people. For Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so God has always wanted his people to be thankful. But I want us to consider being thankful in the midst of distractions, because life is filled with them. Life is filled with distractions, things that tend to get in our way, things that tend to block our view of the intended goal. And so, if you will, the QR code is up there for the notes. For those who may not know, provide notes, at least I try to, every week. And since I am putting them together, I figure I'd give them to you as well. And notes are good. It's good for the preacher to have notes, either on paper, electronic, or in his mind. But it's good to have notes. And the reason why is because it helps. It helps the minister to stay on task. It helps those who are learning to have something to look at as well. Building up one another is actually the title of our lesson for this morning. And I wanted to use Acts 20, verse number 32 as a foundation in which for us to study. Why? Because the Apostle Paul is talking to the elders there at Miletus. He calls them from Ephesus. Apparently, he could not go back there, and rightfully so. In Acts 19, we understand that. That's not really the point that I want to make for us this morning. Because Paul says to those Ephesian elders in verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build one up, build you up among all them that are sanctified. And when we think about building up, the idea of building up is very powerful, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But when we consider building up one another, there are so many one another passages in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, you can't go long in the New Testament and not realize that the church of our Lord is not about one person, at least under the name of Jesus. When we stop and we consider this, we have so many one another passages, and I just gave some one another ideas, and you can go back and do your own homework, and you'll see all of the one another passages in the New Testament. For the Bible demonstrates to us that we are to truly care for one another, be kindly affectionate to one another, to love one another, to greet one another. Romans 16, 16 would actually say, greet one another with a holy kiss. Watch this. The churches of Christ greet you. That's interesting, right? That God in his infinite wisdom would put the name of his people in the Bible. But then he would say, through love, serve one another. We should not envy one another. We should bear one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. So many one another passages that we could look at on this morning. But we want to talk about building up one another, encouraging one another, even through the distractions of life. And make no mistake about it, friends, there are many distractions in life and many types of distractions. And we're going to discuss a few of those, because there is an intended goal for us as the people of God, As members of the Lord's Church here at 9th and Main, there's a goal for us. There is a universal goal, and there is a goal that we have locally. But mainly, our goal should be to obtain the prize that's in Christ Jesus our Lord, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And we stop and we consider that and the focus that we have as we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12, the first couple of passages there. God wants us to be laser focused. He wants us to have our gaze upon him, upon his son, rather. And so when we think about the idea of distractions, and we know that distractions can be seen in many different ways. But I want us to look at distractions from the storm perspective. Tobias, watch these points, okay? And one thing that we need to be considering is that life is full of storms. Full of storms. Why? Because it is part of the ecosystem. Point number one, the idea of distraction seen in storms. I want us to use Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 14 as our launching pad as we consider some of the thoughts and storms. The Bible is replete of the idea of storms. And they're not always used in a good sense. However, we know that storms, although may not be good at times, does serve a purpose. I wish I had time to go to the book of Job and demonstrate the purpose of storms and snow and things of that nature. But that's not the purpose of this particular lesson. The purpose of this lesson is for us to learn that we must build one another up in the midst of distractions, in the midst of storms. Reminded of what Job said in Job 14:1, we used it last week. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You can't get around it. So we must be prepared to go through it. The idea of distraction seen in storms. Matthew chapter 8, 23 through verse number 27. Take notice of these particular passages because here Jesus is in the storm with his disciples. Now when he, talking about Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. So the idea there is that when he got in the ship, there was no tempest. Now that they're in the ship, there's a tempest. There's a storm. So that the boat was covered with waves. Imagine that. Put that in your mind's eye. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're dying. We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you a little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, now watch this, friends. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, we've made this point before. We'll make it right here now. Why did the winds and the waves obey Jesus Christ? Colossians 1, 14 through 16. Jesus created all things. In the beginning, when we talk about Jesus, to be more specifically and to be more precise in our language, Brother Royce, the Word created all things. And when he created all things, he spoke all things into existence. We know that the Word became flesh, John 1, verse 1, John 1, 14. However, we see that Jesus, he was the one that created all things, being the Word. And so why did the winds and the waves obey him? Because they heard that voice before. They heard that voice before. It's interesting that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the beginning of the disciples' relationship with Jesus the Christ, they had to see the miracles that he was performing in order to gain faith, trust, confidence, and reliance in God the Son. But in Mark 14, 22 through verse number 33, we have a different occasion, yet we see some of the same ideas. We're not going to read all of this for time's sake, but I do want you to consider these and go back and read this, because here Jesus, he tells his disciples to go get into the boat, and then notice what he says in verse number 22. Go before him to the other side. Now here Jesus is telling his disciples to go to the other side, And we find it very interesting in verse number 34. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesareth. So the whole story is them in the midst of the storm. And Jesus saying, go to the other side. Why would Jesus tell them to go to the other side if they were not going to make it to the other side? They actually made it to the other side. But they had to go through the storm. One old preacher said one time, in order to get to it, you got to go through it. A lot of times people are trying to bypass going through it. But you got to go through it in order to get to it. Here we see that the disciples, they were afraid in verse number 27. When they were afraid because of the winds and the waves, they were afraid when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus said in verse 27, be of good cheer. It is I. Literally in the Greek, it is I am. Ego, a me. Jesus makes a claim here to be God. You remember in Exodus 3 and verse 14, when Moses was at the burning bush, and the angel of the Lord told Moses to remove his shoes. Why? Because the place in which he is standing is holy ground. Let me make this point. There ought to be a great reverence for God. Not just when we come together on the first day of the week, but every day of the week. And so here we see that storms can actually frighten us. And we see that the storms can actually be cloudy and can't see through them. And sometimes as the people of God, even we ourselves seem as if we can't make it through because we can't see on the other side. Brethren, when we stop and we consider this, here Jesus calms their fears according to Matthew chapter 8, 26 and Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. He calms their fears. Y'all settle down. Be of good cheer. Why are you fearful? Why are you doubting? Which tells us that fear can paralyze us from seeing on the other side and seeing through the storm. Jesus says, calm down. He tells them, don't fear. God empowers the people of God to overcome fear. Remember what John said in 1 John 4 as it relates to verse number 4. As the people of God, brethren, we can overcome fear. Well, I believe Chad said one time in a Bible class, and I agree, there's nothing wrong with the fear. It's what you do with the fear. Will you overcome it? Will you overcome the fear? Every last one of us are fearful at times. What will you do with the fear? Will you allow it to overcome you, or will you overcome it? Brethren, that's something for us to consider. As the people of God, we understand that distractions are seen in storms. Jesus questions their faith in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 26 and Matthew 14, 31. Why are you so fearful? Why are you doubting? What causes the people of God to fear today? So many things. You fill in the blank. But brethren, the God of heaven is still the God of heaven if we put our faith and trust in him. And we obtain faith, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to trust him. But we trust him through the faith, the system of faith, the word of faith. And when we do that, God demonstrates his strength through us. So he questions their faith in both cases. Let's make a comment here real quick. Is it all right for me to question my faith? You better believe it is. Is it all right for me to question my brethren's faith? You better believe it is. Is it all right for my brethren to question my faith? You better believe it is. Is it all right for God to question my faith? We better believe that it is. As a matter of fact, you should desire to question your trust in God. Why? Because in examining yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through verse number 33, especially verse 30 through verse number 33, brethren, we're supposed to be examining ourselves all of the time. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. And then he goes on to say, by inspiration, test yourselves. Leon, always test yourself. You want to make sure that your faith lines up with the faith. And if our faith doesn't line up with the faith, there's no faith there. And so I would rather have little faith than no faith. but I would rather have Luke 7, 9, great faith. Even in the midst of storms. Both situations ended well. I love this about both stories. Both episodes, both events ended well. In Matthew 8 and verse 27, who can this man be that even the winds and the waves obey him? Ended very well. Well, how did it end? It ended by the disciples praising and worshiping Jesus. Now that's interesting. It ended by them glorifying God. But also, Matthew 14, verse number 33, it ended by them saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now watch this. When we stop and we consider what the disciples were going through and the storm that was over the boat while they were inside of the boat, couldn't see clearly, yet they had to continue to trust. Little trust is better than no trust. Some people argue that Peter should not have gotten out of the boat. But he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. The Lord said, come. Why would the Lord bid him to come if it wasn't okay for him to come? So he came out of the boat, stepped on top of the water, walked on the water, saw the winds and the waves. They were boisterous. He began to sink. Why? He took his eyes off of Jesus. Now, these are fundamentals. Brethren, do you think God is teaching us something in this fundamental fact here? Brother Daniel, when a man takes his eyes off Jesus, he will fall every single time, I promise you. Every single time, if you take your eyes off Jesus, you will fall every single time, I promise you. But this is the reason why we ought to be gazing at the Lord. He is the one that God has authorized for us to look at. And then, as we look at him, people ought to be able to look at us. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, follow me, even as I follow Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 1, imitate me as dear children. Interesting. We're to look at the Lord, but we're also to look at one another. Let me prove this point. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Common passages for us, brethren. Why? Because if the world, or if we're supposed to be looking at one another, the world should be looking at us as well. You're the light of the world, salt of the earth, city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brethren, think about this. Even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of distractions, we need to remain focused. We need to remain steadfast. So we learn lessons from that. Point two, storms, distractions come in various forms. Again, storms are not always shown in a good light. As I was studying this and looking at some things, I came across the book of Acts chapter 27. Turn your Bibles there, Acts chapter 27. I promise to have you out by at least 1 o'clock. Y'all know better than that. When we consider storms, here we have a hurricane. I find it interesting that we have winds that are contrary according to Acts chapter 27 and verse number 4. And usually hurricane winds are very contrary winds, the boisterous winds. But we have this storm in Acts 27 in verse number 15. If you look at your notes, it's called Euracludon or Euracludon, whatever way you want to pronounce it. But I wanted to put it in there for phonics sake. But I was thinking about this and how we today, we give names to storms. This is no new thing. They were giving names to storms back then. By inspiration, here we find Luke giving a name to a storm. You know, you think of distractions. Usually our distractions have names to them. The question is, are we honest enough and have enough integrity to call that distraction the name that it really is? Wow. Here we understand that this hurricane was during the time of Paul. And Paul is advising these particular salesmen, if you will, these sailors. He's telling them, don't go out into the storm. You're going to incur some damage. this may be some loss of life. You got to be careful. So in verse number 21, verse number 10, he advised them rather. He said, no, don't do this. And in verse 21, he says, I told you so. I told you not to do this. You know, this is good information for us, because sometimes the distractions in our lives, if we would just seek knowledge and seek wisdom and seek counsel in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. It's all right to seek wisdom. James 1 in verse number 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But if I need wisdom, I need to make sure that I get it from above. James 3 verse 17 and 18. Brethren, here, these men, what did they do? Well, if you consider verse number 11, Acts chapter 27, nevertheless, the centurion, where am I? Am I in 27? Yes. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. Question. In the midst of distraction, does it matter where I get my information? Does it matter where I get my wisdom if I'm going to get through this? It sure does. Well, it's on the internet. It must be right. My banker said it has to be right. Therefore, I got to go this way. Brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Brethren, measure twice, cut once. Check it. Check it. Check it. And so here we see, because of this unnecessary distraction, it cost them. In verse number 19, it cost them tackling equipment. In verse 21, he said they should have listened. In verse 38, the food had to be thrown over after they ate. In verse number 41, the ship was now broken up. Now notice what this bad decision cost them. You know what distractions do when you're not focused? It costs you. It just costs you. I can't stand when people say, well, I just like to learn from the school of hard knocks. Really? Romans 15 and verse number 4. The things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Why did God leave us the Old Testament? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 6. To admonish us. Why? Because they were a dissuasive example of what not to do. Brethren, the Bible is right. Well, when we stop and think about this, Brother Mike, sometimes you just got to go through some things. Well, why don't you go through it with some wisdom? Brethren, the Bible is right. And the Bible gives us information, not for matters of doctrine only, but even matters of opinion. And so here we see that this was an unnecessary loss. If they would have just listened to Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know where I'm going with this. If we would just listen to the Bible, if we would just listen to inspired writers, stop listening to men who write in commentaries. Stop listening to men who think they know more than God. Check everything by the word of God. Jesus would say in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. God, what are you teaching us? Come to me. Matthew 11:28-30. Come learn of me. If these men would have just listened to Jesus, listened to Paul rather, they would have not incurred this loss. But praise be to God, they had a man of God on the ship. Let me go ahead and help y'all out real quick. If there's a man of God in your life, you ought to be thankful. Some people diminish men of God as if one man of God is just as good as another man of God. You be careful with that. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. Be careful with that, brethren. Be careful how you treat God's man. Well, hold on. Are we talking about preachers, elders? We're talking about any man that lives for God. Amen, Royce. We ain't talking about just preachers. We're not talking about just elders. We got some young men of God here today who love God. And you see it in their lives, and you see it in their decision making even now. We got new converts here that are just, wow. They're men of God already. Then you got some old folk, they're not men of God. because they're not allowing the word of God to govern their life. And you see it in the fruit. Brethren, be careful. They denied the information of Paul, a man of God, but he told them, don't worry about it. There's not going to be any loss of life. And guess what? 276 men made it to the shore safe. Some was able to swim to shore. Some because of the broken up ship. That's interesting that you can even benefit from a broken up ship. Took all of the wood. They took the woods and they just sailed on top of the wood, if you will. They rode the wood to land. And all 276 men were safe. We see that in verse 37 and verse number 44. Brethren, what can we learn? There's a couple of brief lessons we can learn. You can look at your notes here. I said at times we're in storms with other people. Sometimes you're in a storm all by yourself. Sometimes storms don't have nothing to do with the decisions you made. Sometimes storms are just part of life. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 11, time and chance happen to all men. Sometimes things just happen. It is nobody's fault. And you know what? We ought to be okay with that too. Well, I know somebody had to be at fault. In John 9, you remember the blind man there? And they said, well, who sinned, the mother or his father? And Jesus said, no one. Nobody sinned in this situation. Sometimes distractions happen in our lives and it is no one's fault. And in the midst of that, we have to remain focused. If you look at the rest of your notes there, our prayers and wisdom from others may be what helps us through the storms and distractions in life. And I gave Jethro and Moses there. Because here you have Jethro, who was giving his son-in-law information, wisdom, on how to deal with this situation, which was very disturbing. It was hard on Moses. And it seems as if Moses took the information of his father-in-law. Here it is. If you're not asking for wisdom, that means you're leaning to your own understanding. If you're leaning to your own understanding, then don't get mad at the results. But there are some people that have been there and done that and say, hey, if you try this, this is what happened to me and I had to learn the hard way. Or this is what someone told me and they gave me information from this particular book or this idea and it worked for me. I think it'll work for you too. Why don't you try that? Just try that. But why do we make decisions sometimes? Because of the distractions? Because of the fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There's no fear in love. Hopefully we'll make it to the other side. Another reason why storms are distractions is Ephesians 4 and verse 14, immaturity in the faith. When a person obeys the gospel, when they're baptized into Christ because of the gospel message, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, Mark 1, 14 and 15, Acts 8, verses 1 through 12, when the gospel is obeyed, it behooves the leadership of the Lord's church to get that new convert and grow that new convert up quick. Why? Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was baptized, he was led away into the wilderness by the Spirit, there tempted by the devil. Guess what happens when someone obeys the gospel, friends? The devil attacks immediately. This is why leadership, those of us who are elders and preachers here, we got to take new converts and teach them, nourish them, and give them the necessary spiritual food necessary so Satan doesn't gobble them up. Look at Ephesians 4, verse number 14. Brother, I'm not making this up. I've been doing this too long to not know what I'm talking about right now. I've seen new converts on fire for the Lord, and because of a lack of leadership, that convert goes into false doctrine. I've seen the other side where a new convert has obeyed the gospel and because of leadership, someone has continued to teach that individual and they remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I've seen both sides. And we understand that the new convert has to do their part Philippians 2 and verse number 12. They got to work out their own salvation. However, the leadership, and God has placed leadership in the church, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, in the church for this very purpose. Why, Paul? Look at verse number 14. Verse number 14. I find it very interesting that God wants us to grow up, that we should no longer be immature children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind or with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Interesting. Here, notice the language used here, Peyton Reed. Notice the language used, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind. Storm. Storms come sometimes through false doctrine. Well, if storms come through false doctrine, that means that I need to be grounded. So when the storm does come and my life is founded upon the rock as Jesus taught, I'm going to stand still, even though I feel myself moving a little bit, but my foundation is steady. Where's your foundation? A better question, who's your foundation? Brethren, the Bible is right. And because of immaturity in the faith, due to doctrine, it can be rough. And so false doctrine, false teaching can cause distractions in life. Misinterpretation and misapplication can cause distractions in life. It can cause us to stumble. It can cause us to fall. It can cause us to leave the Lord's church and go into man-made churches. And Jesus would have something to say about that. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and following, every plant, I believe it's verse 11 or 13, which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted, which implies that there are doctrines of men, there are churches that men have formulated, concocted, come up with, and it is put off to the world as the Lord's people. That's deception. And so men are caused to be tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching, which causes unnecessary arguments and disruption in the family and the church. And so what fixes that? A proper understanding of the Word of God. Proper application of the Word of God. James 1, 6. Watch this one. Another idea of storms in the Bible. Another idea of storms in the Bible. Brethren, God has left us His Word. He wants us to read it. He wants us to apply it. And Paul would say in Ephesians 3, and I believe verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God wants us to read. He told Habakkuk, write this down, that those who run may read. Those who read may run. One of those orders. James 1 and verse number 6, faithless prayer life is like a tempestuous storm is tempestuous in nature. Notice what he says in verse number 6. But let him who ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by what? The wind. Brethren, when we communicate with God, let's trust him. It's a lack of trust when I ask God to bless me or give me something that is not according to his will. I have a wife. Her name is Evelyn Devon Bonner. There's not another Evelyn Devon Bonner out there. There's no need for me going to God in prayer about another wife. I have one. That's an extreme. But brethren, I'm telling you things that I've been told in my own office. Well, I know this is God's will. How is this God's will when you have a wife? I've been told that. I just know. I just feel it. Nobody asks you to feel anything. Sometimes my stomach hurts like it did this morning. I felt bad. That feeling doesn't change the word of God. I find it very interesting what people say sometimes. Well, I just feel that this is right. God didn't ask us to feel anything when it came to his commandments. Brethren, we have to be objective. Stay with the word of God. Let me prove that. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, watch this, he hears us. God hears us. So how do I know what God's will is? Ephesians 5, 17. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's God's will? I find it in his word. I shouldn't be praying for anything that's outside of the will of God. Why? Because when I approach God, I want him to hear me. And I want him to answer according to his will. For I always know that he's going to do what is best for me. It behooves us, brethren, that we pray in faith. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As we close, point three, the idea of building up is seen in multiple ways. Look at your notes real quick. We'll go through these. We won't read these. And I didn't have intentions on reading these. That's why I put them last. But the Word of God shows us the beauty and nature of being encouraged. Notice, out of distractions. Distractions, storms in life, they're going to come. You might be one in one right now. Brethren, the Bible teaches us how to endure. We endure through spiritual education. We don't lean to our own understanding. And this encouragement, it should be built upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. And sometimes our strength, our faith increases when we are going through the fire itself. In the midst of distractions, we need to be a thankful people. Understanding that these distractions are good at times, depending on what the distraction is. And our faith is always growing and developing if we're studying the Word of God and applying it all of the time. Colossians 2, 7. There's one point I want us to consider. Look at Jude 20. As I was pondering this and meditating and thanking God for understanding, notice what he says. But you, Jude is talking to the brethren here. But you, beloved, notice what he calls them, beloved. Brethren, you are beloved. The very fact that you're in Christ, you're beloved. Building yourselves up. Notice the idea there. Building yourselves up. This is an inside job. God wants us to build up one another. Building yourselves up. Notice on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, literally according to his will. Literally in the Greek, this idea of building up is the idea of constructing a building. Which means that our faith is always in the building up process all the time. None of us have arrived. The Apostle Paul would say that in Philippians chapter 3, I have not yet attained, I have not yet arrived. Which means that we who are stronger in the faith ought to be building up those who are weak in the faith. And those of us who are weak in the faith should not act like we're stronger in the faith than what we really are. And then put ourselves in a position to benefit from one another. Because all of us are distracted by some things at times. Some of us are a little bit more focused than others. But we need to be encouraging one another. For this reason, we come together every first day of the week. For this reason, we fellowship as much as humanly possible. Why? Because God wants us to hang in there. Look at letter B. Some things building up will not allow. Quitting is not an option. We have some members that have quit the Lord. They quit worship. They've quit praying. They just quit. Yet God has no pleasure in quitters. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Period. He has no pleasure in quitters. And so for this reason, we have to help people to see the need to not quit. Hang in there. Even in the midst of distractions, we're going to build you up. We're going to encourage you. Let us see, building up does not encourage distractions, but rather discourage them. I wish I had time to really look into this. But brethren, the people of God, according to Deuteronomy 13 and verse number 6, should not be putting stumbling blocks in each other's way. We're holy people. Two Christians should never find themselves involved in fornication. Why? Because they are supposed to be holy. They should be ones who are trying to keep one another away from that lifestyle. Drinking, drugs, you name it. the child of God should be helping the other child of God to remain away from those things in modesty. We can go on and on and on. Brethren, the Bible is right. And when you look at Deuteronomy 13's context, it's interesting that when a child of God, an Israelite, would cause another Israelite to go and worship other gods, that particular Israelite was to be stoned. Wow. Why is this important? Because the people of God should be holy. They shouldn't be tempting one another. Our little ones must learn, brethren. We have to teach our little ones what it means to not be distracted. Teach your children. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 1, turn there. I want to show you something real quick. And I'm going to bring it down just a little bit. Watch this. Walk prudently. Walk circumspectly. Walk carefully when you go to the house of God. When you come to worship, be careful. Notice what he says. And draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, meaning you're not paying attention, for they do not know that they do evil. It is so important that when we come to worship, that we're coming to pay attention. Parents, teach your children to pay attention. When they come here, there's a difference between here and the playground during worship. There's a difference. If you don't teach them the difference, I can see why folk do what they do. We got congregations all over the land, and they can't tell the difference between that which is reverent and irreverent, that which is holy and not holy, to the point that we got people, even in the Lord's church, they got bands now in worship. Bands. Praise dancing in worship. It's an entertainment thing now. They can't tell the difference between holy and unholy, reverent and irreverent. Brethren, teach your children that when you come here, it's about reverencing God and it's about hearing God. And brethren, we can't hear God if we're always talking. Which means that when we come to worship, we got to teach our children, listen, sing, pray, commune. Of course, they're not involved in that, but they're watching. Teach your children that. Don't leave it to chance. Be intentional. Why? Because you want to teach them early how to discipline themselves toward God. Brethren, I see why so many are irreverent toward God, because of the distractions in life. And they want to attribute their distractions to God. And that's not true. Sometimes it's brought upon themselves. The last point is yours, because in genuine fellowship, God helps us as we talk about his word, as we commune with one another, as we confess fault, as we do his will. We got to build up each other. And when we build each other up, that means that we're not tearing each other down. And the Bible has something to say about that too. In Galatians 5:15. So, Brother Mike, what are you saying? I'm saying that all of us are distracted by something at one time or another. But we need to build up each other so we don't remain in that distraction. And none of us are too young nor too old to be distracted. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. You may be distracted by false doctrine, or just plain ignorance. Ignorance is not a bad thing, because you can teach someone who is ignorant. As a matter of fact, all of us are ignorant in something, and that's nothing, it's nothing wrong with that. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, and in doing that, you'll be willing to repent of sin. confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. That's where you receive the forgiveness of sins. God will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. Why? Acts 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. God adds to his son's church. Are you a member of it? Maybe a child of God, and you've been so distracted, you don't know if you're coming or going. That happens. We're here to build you up and encourage you to come out of that distraction. Because the storms of life are not going to end. But as Jesus taught his disciples, you can have your focus on me even in the midst of the storm. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.